Chapter 24. The Princess and the General. If there was one season Mei Ling absolutely loathed, it was winter. The cold cut right through to her bones, racking her slim body with shivers. The snow piled up on the ground, necessitating the shoveling off of their houses, and it made travel a chore. But the worst part about it was that everybody got sick. The shaking fevers and phlegmy coughs always proliferated around this time, and it was her family's job to fix it. It was hard, soul-draining work that sometimes ended in the deaths of the patients. That was always the hardest part, trying so hard to save somebody, only to have their life pass through her fingers. Still, she would count her blessings this year. Sickness had largely avoided Hong Yao Wu, and save for the occasional case of the sniffles, things were good. Even the cold didn't seem as bad, which was why they were even out here at all. Her father had asked her to deliver a letter to Jin from Uncle Bao. He could have just gotten another messenger, but he told her to spend some time with her betrothed. Her betrothed. Mei Ling still couldn't quite believe it. Oh, she had been to the matchmakers plenty of times. Her father had been rightfully concerned for her prospects, especially after she started getting a reputation. She hadn't always been that way, but after hearing the first boy, who she had actually liked, call her ugly and bony, well, she had been devastated and angry. She regretted lacing his drink with laxatives, but word had quickly gotten out about her nature. The rest of the men who met her all knew her reputation and came to tame the shrew, which led to more retaliation, which led to more men trying to take her in hand, more insults, more belligerence. Honestly, there was a worry that she would never be wed, save perhaps to one of the Song brothers, which would have been awkward. She did love them, and they loved her like a sister, but the thought of being with either always made her feel a bit ill. According to them, the feeling was mutual. And then, out of nowhere, Jin had shown up. The betrothal had been a surprise. She had thought at first that she was merely a passing distraction. That was all she could be to a cultivator. But he had been serious about it. Part of her was still waiting for some deception, but as she spent more time with him, the less that seemed likely. The one spot of dark energy had faded. He was as he showed himself to be, and she could feel the growing fondness for the man each time they met. And with her betrothal, she'd gotten special privileges, like her father's command to visit, accompanied by supervision that would be more likely to encourage rash behavior than condemn it. Now, she was trudging through the snow towards Jin's house. The snowshoes made things easier, but it was still difficult work, especially for the two heavier boys. She was a little annoyed that her two guards were coming, especially Yun Zhen. The narrow-eyed man had been even more fox-like than usual, grinning and constantly making references to her beloved's palace and calling her the Princess of Hong Yao Wu. She'd spiked some of his clothes with itching powder for his cheek, but even that couldn't keep the insufferable smirk off his face, even as he scratched at his back. The one good thing about the brothers being here was that she didn't have to forge her own path. Yun Zhen or Go Zhen took the lead, switching off, and all she had to do was walk in their footsteps. Go Zhen was in front more than Yun Zhen. He was just as excited as she was to revisit Jin. The night they had spent on the road was cold, but not unbearably so. The trees provided plenty of protection, and Go Zhen's body was a furnace compared to theirs. He complained mightily about the chilly feet and clammy hands pressing against his skin as they shared the bedroll, but he rarely made any real effort to shoo them away. Furnace duty got him out of tending to the fire and cooking. They were getting so close she could feel it, though instead of rice and harvest, a crisp scent of pines and cedar filled her nostrils, with a hint of something almost spicy. The scent changed with the seasons, it seemed, and she couldn't wait to see what spring brought. They trudged for a while longer, and then, for the first time in Mei Ling's life, she was caught completely off guard by something with qi. A large, rust-red boar with a black mane seemed to spring up out of nowhere along the path. Three massive scars decorated its face, and tusks curled out from its lips. It was a fearsome-looking creature, with razor-sharp tusks and beady eyes. Steam hissed from its nostrils as it beheld them. Go Zhen flailed, staggering backwards. The scent of pines and cedar was thick on the boar and entirely too strong for it not to have qi. Mei Ling froze. Hey, Chunky, Yunzhen greeted it, completely unconcerned, while Gojen tried to skitter backwards on his hands. Mei Ling let out a breath she had been holding.
Is that one of Jin's?
The boar let out a happy squeal and approached them, moving aside the snow without a care in the world. Yunzhen grinned as he started scratching along the boar's mane. The porcine beast leaned into his touch, whuffing and snuffing with joy. The last time Mei Ling had seen him, he was hairless and pink, not this. His shoulders already reached her waist. She could probably ride him. Yunzhen gave him a dried persimmon, and the beast seemed to get even happier, nuzzling Yunzhen's legs. It was a far cry from the regal rooster, who bowed and insisted on courtesy. There was another pig watching them from the path, probably Pipa, if she remembered Jin's strange names right. The female didn't approach, but seemed satisfied with the affection Chunki was receiving. Eventually, Chunki got tired of greeting them and oinked, turning around to trot along the path. The clear path. They didn't need their snowshoes anymore. It looked like a combination of a shovel and a boar's snout had done most of the work.
Why didn't you tell us that Brother Jin's pig turned out like that?
Gojen snarled at his brother.
Because it was funnier this way,
Yunzhen answered cheerily as he walked and whistled. Mei Ling and Gojen looked at each other. They nodded. Mei Ling's foot smacked into the back of Yunzhen's knee while both of Gojen's hands slammed into his shoulders. Yunzhen went headfirst into a snowdrift. He caught up to them a minute later, scowling and shaking snow out of his shirt. They made excellent time along the path, with Jin's boar in the lead. The female had disappeared, likely gone ahead. It was nearing noon when they finally arrived at Jin's property, and once more they stood outside the fence. The beware of chicken sign now had a companion, a carved leaf. Gojen squinted at it before shrugging.
A maple leaf of some kind? Looks spikier than I'm used to.
Mei Ling studied it a moment before recognizing the shape.
We've got a maple with leaves like that in the forest to the north. I think they're known as giant vermilion maples, or at least that's what father called them, she said before shrugging.
Yunzhen looked smug again.
Brother Jin said it was a sugar maple.
What? A sugar maple?
Gojen sounded excited.
Is it like sugar cane? Do you cut it down and squeeze it?
They reached the fence where the rooster sat. They bowed to the rooster, who bowed back. This time he did not impede their way as they ascended the hill, instead staying on the fence. He smelled a little off this time, a little acrid, and had an underlying scent of medicinal herbs.
I don't know, I didn't ask him how it worked. All I got was the name. I think he might have said something about, what the hell's?
Yunzhen stopped and stared as he finished cresting the hill. Gojen burst out laughing. Mei Ling's hand met her face. Before them, on another hill, was a massive edifice of snow, taller than the Imperial Palace in Verdant Hill, taller than the buildings in the city that Mei Ling remembered seeing. It had the crude form of a man. Ash and soot made up its eyes and buttons, entire tree branches made arms, and a bunch of carrots lashed together made a truly magnificent pointed nose. There was even a strange hat in construction near it. The hat was tall and cylindrical with a wide brim and made out of dried grass. Jin stood atop its head, his hands on his hips, grinning like a madman. He wore a bright red hat and lumpy-looking mittens.
Behold, he boomed, his voice carrying across the farm. The general that commands the winter.
Mei Ling was flabbergasted. She raised her hands in confusion as Yunzhen started cracking up beside her, struggling to comprehend.
Just, why? It was so dumb. That stupid smile, and he looked so proud of it.
Eventually, she gave up and started laughing too. It was just too absurd. A snowball slapped into Gojen's chest.
You dare insult the great general that commands the winter,
Jin yelled in mock outrage. He jumped down into a drift and then sprung up to his feet, another snowball hurtling out and pelting Yunzhen in the face, sending him spluttering. They immediately started up a war, the brothers teaming up and striking back.
She sighed. Boys and their games, they never grow up.
A snowball struck her right in the forehead.
I'm going to murder you sons of a flea-bitten whore!
Mei Ling joined the fray. It ended with them soaking wet from the snow and exhausted, two things that nobody wanted to be in winter, which could have been deadly were it not for Jin's house. And she had to admit, Yunzhen calling it a palace wasn't entirely without merit. It was big, certainly bigger than her house back home, with two stories to the building. Inside, the house was incredibly warm, with a merry fire going in the fireplace, crackling and snapping. There was also no draft, and when the door closed, it was as if the elements were cut off completely.
"All right, let's get warmed up," Jin said, and they stripped out of their wet clothes.
Blankets, warmed by the fire, were wrapped around them. They leaned against thick cushions made out of leftover rice bags filled with cedar fiber. Mei Ling's mind replaced Yunzhen and Gozhen with two significantly younger children, one with Jin's green eyes and one with her violet, and both with their combined freckles. She shook her head and blushed, snuggling into the blanket. Jin made them tea and bowls of fish soup, cooking in the large fireplace. He collapsed onto the cushion next to Mei Ling and took a big spoonful of broth. Gozhen was looking around eagerly.
"This place is great, Brother Jin. Yunzhen wasn't exaggerating things."
Jin blushed. "Well, I might have gone a bit overboard with the size, but that just means that I can host more people. Brother Yunzhen, Brother Gozhen, you two are welcome to stay whenever, so shamelessly take advantage of my hospitality. And you can just call me Jin, you know?"
Yunzhen laughed and raised his bowl of soup in salute.
"Don't mind if I do."
"Not that I'm complaining," Jin said as he adjusted his position, pressing up against Mei Ling. "But what brings everybody around?"
Gozhen shrugged.
"Boredom, mostly," he said with a grin. "Done most of the stuff that needed doing, and we were told to take a break. Oh, also, Mei Mei has a letter."
Mei Ling jerked at the reminder. She had almost forgotten about it, but she would need to get up to actually grab it. She stared sadly at Yunzhen, pleading with him to get the letter with her eyes. He sighed and shook his head, but got up all the same.
"In the pack, top left," she told him, snuggling closer to Jin.
Yunzhen tossed Jin the scroll, who opened it and began reading. He seemed a little confused and concerned until he reached the end of the letter, and then he nodded his head. He looked down at her expectant face, considered for a moment, and then spoke.
"There was a little bit of a mix-up with the rice prices, but Uncle Bao sorted it out for me. He also said that there would be a merchant going to Verdant Hill with a recording crystal. I was asking around for one earlier."
Mei Ling cocked her head to the side.
"A recording crystal? What did you want that for?
Was he going to do some kind of strange cultivation art with it?"
He blushed, and his grip around her waist tightened a little.
"So I could record our wedding."
Her jaw dropped, and red bloomed across her face.
"See? Princess Mei Ling,"
Yunzhen shouted.